Welcome to Live from My Office. A little bit of a different type of episode today, in that let me start with something that I think I need to say out loud. I get it. I do. I get it. 2020 has been a colossal pain in the ass. You're tired. You know the vaccine's coming. You don't even know if you want to take it. There was a survey that was out, I think it was today, and we're recording this on December 7th. And the survey said that firefighters, more than half, didn't want to take the vaccine. Look, the normal testing process for the vaccine may not have been completed the same way, but this would not be put out by these companies with the massive liabilities they would face unless they believe it's ready to go. And it's going to be a while before most of us get it. As you would guess, appropriately so, frontline healthcare workers, the elderly, the most sick amongst us, they will get it first. That's the way it should be. So it's going to be a little while, but when the chance comes, you got to take the vaccine. But I get it. You're burned out. You're tired of hearing about it. You're thinking right now, I can't do this, Steve. I'm probably going to turn off this podcast right now. I'm telling you, don't do it. Because this is information that we all have to continue to absorb and pass along. I've said it a million times. Nobody wants to wear a mask. But look at it this way. Even if science hasn't proven to everybody that the mask is a primary way to stave off spreading COVID, what if they're only 5% right? Not 50% right, not 25% right, but what if 5% of the time they work? Well, it's worth it. It's worth it not to spread COVID to somebody else. You know, in your family, a stranger, whatever. We know the social distancing works. It's just common sense. The farther you are from someone, the less chance you have that you're going to catch what they have or give them what you have. So social distancing is first. Yes, you still have to mask up, but I get it. I get it. It sucks. It's been 9 months. I mean, you know, we're back in the spring. We're talking about, ooh, if we can only get to June 1st. Now, June 1st feels like next June 1st. But the end is coming. But the thing is, if we don't behave, and I mean that literally behave, if we don't do the right thing, the only thing that we can do, and it's now three, those three things are mask up, social distance, and take the vaccine when you have an opportunity to get it. If we don't do those, we're just making the whole problem worse. And where are we headed with this? We're not even at the point yet where the Thanksgiving bump is going to hit. We're days away from that. But that's when we're going to see a massive increase in the numbers, and the stress on the hospitals that Dr. Most will talk about in a few minutes will be worse than we've seen it all year long. You have to help stop this problem. I've heard people say, I don't know anybody got COVID. So, you know, it literally comes down to that. So, it's not made up. It's not some way to get Donald Trump or any of the other ridiculous excuses you've heard, because it is a worldwide pandemic. And I know you're tired. I'm tired. You know, I'm tired of talking about it. But I'm very thankful today's episode we have Dr. Kevin Most to give us another cold bucket of water in the face in a very nice way, because he delivers bad information in the best way possible. And he can tell us how they're doing, and therefore how we're doing. You know, the nurses and the doctors and the people that work at these hospitals and the office, the doctor's office, I mean, they're human beings. They have the same stresses and pressures that you have, but they're having to hold up the rest of it for us. You know, we're even back to a glove shortage now, PPP. Shortage, and we thought that was taken care of. We thought we had increased the supply line to a point where we'd be okay. Well, we're not only running out of beds, we're running out of personal protective equipment. I think I said PPP. I meant PPE. But you know what? I get it. I do. And I think by now it's clear that both parties have failed. We're not going to be rescued from this by Democrats or Republicans. I got into a conversation again the other day, though, with someone that said, well, you know, you're always on Trump. What could Trump do? Trump could do a lot. Right now, I just think, imagine if you had the immense powers of the presidency of the United States of America, you could save lives and you didn't do it. I don't care how much he wants to pout about the election and the bullshit about the election being rigged. It's over. Biden will be inaugurated on January 20th, but between today, again, this is December 7th in my world, between now and January 20th, literally thousands of people will die who possibly could be saved if the president would just do a few simple things. If the president would stand up and go, you know what, before I go, I had this condition. I had access to drugs that the rest of you can't get. I'm very lucky. But I don't want you to get this. Yeah, we don't know if masks work at the full level of success we've been told they work, but wear them. Wear a mask. Just do it. And stay away from each other. I know Christmas is coming, and I know a lot of you aren't going to listen to any bit of that advice, but if you still insist on getting together, and again, I get it. I get it. I miss being with the people I'm closest to. The same way you do. Or even the family responsibilities, the obligations, where you feel like you've got to get together with family because that's what you're supposed to do. I get it. Nobody wants to be in this position. And if the president would say, I need you to behave, I need you to wear the mask, I need you to social distance, I need you to be very careful about how you handle Christmas, there's no way to quantify the exact number, but I promise you he would save lives. And no, I don't expect he'll do it. We're talking about jobs. We're talking about your health. We haven't even talked about school. We've seen new statistics where kids have failed at unbelievably high numbers because as hard as teachers work and as well-intended as virtual schooling is meant to be, including parents who are trying to get it all done at home too, it's not the same. There's a price these kids will pay for a lack of social interaction, but the intellectual side, the education side, we can't begin to tell how much damage has been done. The sooner this is over and the sooner we can get back to normal and the sooner kids can go to school the way school was intended to be taught, the more kids we can save from a deficit of education that a lot of these kids might not be able to make up. I get it. You're thinking, what's it going to take? How much longer? I wish I could tell you. I wish somebody could tell me. All I know is there's three things. There's three things we can do. Social distance, mask up, take the vaccine when it's available. That's it. And support others who do the same. And when it comes to Christmas, if you're uncomfortable being around your family, you got to be able to say to them, I love you guys, but I just can't risk it. I know it's hard. It's incredibly hard. And you may have family members who make you feel really badly about it. But you need to do what's right. And if you believe, as I do, that we all have to mask up, socially distance ourselves from others, well, that's the way you got to do it for Christmas. My advice to you would be, if you have to call your mom or your dad or your brothers or your sisters, whatever your Christmas traditions are, you need to do it. You need to call them, text them, email them, send them a present with a note inside and just say, I love you guys. I just can't do it. It's just too much. It's too risky. Even take a small chance that we are going to spread this to each other. Now, we're days away, as I said a few moments ago, from the Thanksgiving surge. Dr. Kevin Most will talk more about that and other things related to where we are and where we're going. The great Dr. Kevin Most from the Northwestern Medicine Health System is today's guest. And I'll have a charity that I want to mention to you before we're done. And I'm glad you're here, as always. I appreciate you listening to Live from My Office, wherever you're hearing it. And, of course, we're on Apple, we're on Spotify. You go to CochranShow.com. Every episode is archived there. And I would encourage you to rate, review, and tell a few friends to do the same. And always feel free to drop me an email at thecochranshow@gmail.com. All right, let's do this. We'll take the break. We'll come back. Dr. Kevin Most will join me in a moment. I'm telling you now, it's not a laugh riot. It's not going to be a lot of fun with Steve and Doc, but it's stuff you need to hear. And that'll be next on Live from My Office. This is Live from My Office, presented by Team Hochberg and my friend David Hochberg. We thank you for the partnership and really looking forward to it. Speaking of Hochberg, you know, my sister just refied her house for the second time with Team Hochberg. You guys all know John DeCoss. John DeCoss was having some issues and had some debt issues. He basically was a drifter going from town to town, just stumbling into saloons. But he reached out to Hochberg and he was able to get him out of debt, enhance his credit, refinance his previous home, helped him secure the financing on a new home. And John has never been happier. And how is he paying it forward? Well, he's mowing David's lawn, but he's also telling people about Team Hochberg. You want to know more? And you should, because I'm telling you, rates are so low now. It's ridiculous. If there was some good news to come out of this crazy year we're in, this is probably near the top of the list. He's got a passion for helping listeners. He helped me with our loan when we finished off this house that I'm currently broadcasting from. I don't know if you heard, I'm live from my office. He did my daughter's loan and her first house as well. Point being, I trust him, and that's why I recommend David Hochberg and Team Hochberg. Here's what you do. You pick up the phone. You call 855-56-DAVID. Website is easy to remember, too. It's 56david.com. Refinance to pay off your debt. Reverse mortgage information right there as well. Help you purchase a new home. I trust him. He's David Hochberg. It's Team Hochberg. There's nobody better when it comes to your home. Always happy to say, Dr. Kevin Most, welcome to Live from My Office.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing fine, and I know how busy you and your people are, so thanks for taking some more time out to help the rest of us understand what this pandemic is that we're dealing with. This is maybe a weird observation, you tell me, but it's 9 months. Originally, we thought we couldn't do 9 days, let alone 9 weeks. Now we're 9 months in, and there is no specific end in sight. Obviously, we're making progress. But is there a danger to how normal this has become for everybody? I mean, you know, I don't know that the human condition can allow it to be anything but that, but we've kind of gotten used to living this way to some degree. Is that a bad thing?
Well, depends how you take that. If we got used to living this way where we say, you know what, I'm going to grab a mask when I go out.
Right.
I know I'm going to do the things I'm supposed to do. That's going to be okay, because we can always fall back once we get this under control back to whatever we want to call our new norm is. Our concern is the complacency that some people are having, you know, saying, you know what, I've had enough of this. I'm fed up with it. I am going to do what I want to do. And certainly, you know, looking at, you know, crowds downtown last night, you know, that's an issue. Thanksgiving, definitely we are going to see the stress of Thanksgiving come out here probably in the next 4, 5, 6 days. So we do have to understand we do have a new norm, and that's what it is right now.
The spike, the Thanksgiving spike, which, as you said, will come before the end of this week. And it's, by the way, December 6th when we're recording this Sunday morning. And the spike that's going to come by the end of the week when hospitals are stressed to this level seems that it's going to be worse than it was in the spring by all measures, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're already stressed. You know, when we were in the spring, the hospitals weren't crazy busy. You know, that's a time for us where people haven't hit their deductibles. They put off elective things in the spring. And the governor made us hold open rooms so that we cut way back on elective surgeries. Now what we're doing is we're in the middle of cold and flu season. You've got other illnesses. You have people who haven't taken care of themselves for routine health maintenance for 9 months that we're now starting to get caught up on. People with heart disease, people with advanced cancer. The hospitals are already stressed right now, way more than they were in the spring. So this is the ripple effect of this, where a lot of people put off things and now it's coming back to haunt us. as well as now this bigger surge, and we're starting to see a lot sicker people.
You know, we've talked about this before, and again, you people that listen to this are 99.9% of you are grown-ups, and you're going to make the decisions you make. You know, Doc, I always remind myself of all those years on the radio where I would eventually get to the point where I'd stop saying, hey, it's slippery out there, drive carefully. It's like, okay, you're a grown-up, you got a license, get in the car, use your head. There's only so much you can say. But remind people what you're dealing with in the Northwestern system and at CDH, because everybody needs to keep in mind, this is one of the best hospitals in America. Northwestern Medicine is one of the best hospital organizations in the world. How much stress are you guys under? Because when you compare this to a regular hospital, a small town hospital, it's got to be exponentially worse.
Oh, it definitely is. You know, so Central DuPage, 410 beds, depending on how you want to count beds. Yeah, we're at a point where our entire med surge, so the main portion of the hospital, is completely full. That's on a Sunday morning, which is totally unusual. Not only is that full, all our overflow areas are full, places where we would hold patients for hours, if not a day. And we actually have 8 adults in a pediatric wing that we've converted from pediatrics to adult patients right now.
Put on top of that,
the stress that we have with our staff.
Right.
Because now you have all these full areas, extra people, and the COVID patients are not in the normal patient to nurse ratio. We need more nurses to take care of them. So the stress there, and we have nurses that are getting exposed, whether it be in their home, or they're coming in close contact with somebody. So, boy, the stress from the employee point of view as well as the patient point of view is just this perfect storm.
So the overflow that you have, which, as you said, is going into what would be PEDS, where else can you put people?
Yeah, so we have areas like in our emergency department where we can hold patients called a PA pod. We can hold about 6 there. When you come out of surgery, you go into a place called the PACU, the post-acute care unit, where we can actually hold people. It's not ideal. They don't have their own bathrooms. You know, they're not their own rooms. We're talking about a large room with people with more patients in it. But we have to put them somewhere. We can't just say, oh, I'm sorry, you're sick enough to be in the hospital, you have to leave. So we're doing everything we can to fill the needs of the patients that walk through our doors.
So if you have somebody with COVID, can you go to the old style thing that you and I grew up with in the hospital world where you double up on rooms?
Yeah, you could. I mean, the rooms really are designed for single use right now, but theoretically they're big enough that you could put 2 beds in them. That would be the extreme. You know, we certainly wouldn't hope to do that. That would be the extreme right now. Some hospitals are doing that. Even one hospital in the Northwestern system, Lake Forest, has needed to double up some rooms just because of capacity there.
Yeah, and it's not ideal on a number of levels, right? I mean, you know, you got one patient's trying to rest while the other one's coughing, and then that person rests and the first one's coughing. But is there a cross-contamination danger as well because everybody brings in their own subset of illnesses?
Well, not for this. Usually, I mean, the virus that we're seeing right now is pretty standard across the way. The issue then is, boy, is one person getting worse and one person getting better, you know, and how are we going to balance that? Like you said, one of the most important things we know is rest and the ability to really allow your body to rest. And it's difficult when you have 2 people in a room. The only upside is you both have the exact same illness and you can't co-infect each other. We certainly would never put a COVID patient in with, you know, a non-COVID patient. That's quite obvious. But we really would have to start looking at putting them together. But we're still a ways away from there. We are still pulling levers and doing things and moving patients to keep them safe and isolated in the hospital using unique settings.
Now, you have to plan for the worst-case scenario. You know, you mentioned the elective surgery thing. I should probably mention this just as an update for people that heard you and Dr. Lupo, the orthopedist, a couple of weeks ago on the show. I was scheduled to have knee replacement surgery on December 3rd, just a couple of days ago, as of when we're recording this. And because I was an overnight, that had to be postponed indefinitely. Are there any elective surgeries happening now?
Yeah, certainly. You know, people have to understand that a lot of elective surgeries right now, the patients actually go home the same day they come in and have surgery. They come in the morning, they have surgery, they recuperate a little in the afternoon, and they're sent home.
They just can't take a bed. They can't take an overnight bed. That's where we are, right?
Correct. That's our problem, is if it's a surgery that's going to be extensive and require a 2-3-4-day hospitalization, those are the ones that we're concerned about. The ones that can go home the same day, we're going to continue to try to do those, because if we don't, you're going to get this backlog of illnesses that are going to continue to get worse. You know, most things that need surgery aren't going to get better by themselves. So if we push those off, chances are that it's going to go from something that's elective to an emergency, and we certainly don't want that.
So I guess that's a new appeal in some way from you and I, and that is, you know, I understand you want to see your family. Doc and I both have moms that are getting up there in age that we can't visit. It's no different here. But you do what's right now so that you have time with them later, because the worst case scenario is you infect somebody and it gets worse. But even if you're in that camp where you have doubts and you go, I don't know anybody that's had it, and maybe these numbers are calculated wrong and this and that, or if, even if you're just skeptical to a degree, the idea I think that needs to sink in with people, Doc, is that if you've got a parent or maybe somebody in your family, maybe it's your husband or wife, or maybe it's your kid, it's got a heart issue, and suddenly the hospital is stressed to a point where they can't get optimal care for their heart condition because of everybody not paying attention to how serious the COVID thing is, that's the dominoes you've been talking about since last March that fall, right?
Absolutely. 100%. And I'll tell you, Steve, at this point, if you don't know someone that has had COVID, you either have a small group of friends or they're not talking to you. I think COVID has touched almost all of us personally in some way with a friend or family member.
Sure.
But you're absolutely right. We all have to realize, cancer is still going on. Heart disease is still going on. All of these things, kidney disease is still going on. All of these illnesses that require the hospital are still there. When you take a normal hospital, I shouldn't say normal hospital, take a hospital of our size, well, we'll have 110 COVID patients in beds this week at any given day. That's 110 beds that we can't use for something else right now that we would have been able to do on an elective basis. So everyone has to be a little bit less selfish right now. You know, I mean, I hate to say hunker down here, but, you know, everyone's talking about the Thanksgiving bump, but little do we realize that 3 weeks from right now is Christmas. And in January, we'll see a Christmas bump as well.
Yeah, we're inside of 3 weeks till Christmas. So let's talk about that for a second. There's nothing that you see mathematically by way of trends and knowing behaviors that we thought Thanksgiving that are going to be repeated at Christmas to some degree, though we hope people got a little smarter. There's no reason to believe that these restrictions are going to fall off in the next 2 weeks, right?
Oh, there's no way. They're not. The restrictions are not going to change.
And it's nationwide.
You know, correct. And look at some places, they're going back to complete full lockdown, which, you know, I'm not predicting that's going to happen here, but certainly I would hope that people take an opportunity to look to see what's happened with the Thanksgiving bump and potentially change or alter your Christmas plans so that we don't have another. I can tell you, the medical staff, the physicians, the nurses, the respiratory therapists, the EVS people who clean the rooms, the dietary people, we can't handle this for another month. We can't handle going 120% with the emotional as well as physical strain that's being put on us for another 8 weeks of this. So I hope that people, out of common courtesy to the healthcare workers, think about what they're going to be doing here over the next, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, and have some common courtesy to protect not only their loved ones and friends and families, but also the healthcare system that's going to be so needed going forward.
Yeah, we in the media side of things, in all forms, have done a decent job of covering how heartbreaking this can be for the nurses, for the doctors as well, and the unselfishness that's been shown by the frontline folks the good news is when these vaccines hit, and they could be hitting in the next couple of weeks, the first folks that are going to be vaccinated are the frontline workers and the people at greatest risk, which I'd assume would be folks in nursing homes and older folks and folks with pre-existing conditions that are really dangerous. But you're not robots, Doc. Just because you got the vaccine doesn't mean you can do another 80-hour week three more times in a row.
All right. People have to understand that the stress that we're talking about, one, certainly is the stress of potentially getting COVID. Will that be slowly eliminated with the vaccine? Absolutely. The stress we're talking about is coming into the hospital every day, working 12-hour shifts, being asked to do an additional 12 or an additional 20 hours every week, and then dealing with the individual and the families who are going through what we're seeing with COVID. Look at the number of deaths that are going on right now. Totally so feel empathy towards the family members who have lost somebody due to this illness. But I also have the empathy for the nurses who were there with them at their bedside when they passed, for the doctors who were caring for them and trying everything they possibly could do to have them survive and then have them pass. The mental toll on this, the emotional distress on our healthcare workers is so high right now, people can't imagine it.
Is this a situation where Northwestern, just to use you guys as an example, are you hiring people to fill the gap and support positions, or is that impossible to do when you're in the middle of this?
I wish we could hire people.
There's no time to interview folks, right? There's no time to screen people.
Well, no, not only that, there's no one out there. If you look at nurses right now, you know, nurses are working so much. So we have what we call agency nurses. You've probably seen this. It's nurses that travel around the country and work for a short period of time. The agency nursing rate right now is approaching $200 an hour.
And they're worth it.
Think about that.
But there's not enough nurses to go around. I mean, you guys would pay it if you could get them, but you guys can't get them.
Right, but even at that, we're paying nurses. We're paying our traveling nurses, the ones that are coming in, 3, 4, 5 times, 6 times what we're paying our nurses that are our team members.
Right.
Some of these traveling nurses, they made a decision that's what they're going to do. God bless them. But they're making more than the doctors.
Right.
And this shouldn't be about finances and how much people make. But I just want people to understand that the strain of this is not go out and hire more people. You can't find them. Because if we did, and if we could find great quality people that are looking for work, we certainly would be hiring them left and right.
You're talking about the vaccine situation. So where are we with Moderna and Pfizer, the early ones and the ones still to come?
Yeah, so Pfizer and Moderna are probably going to be the two quickest ones, right? I signed paperwork for Pfizer 2 weeks ago. We will expect to get Pfizer vaccine delivered to the hospital either a week from tomorrow or a week from Tuesday. We don't know how much. Well, we don't have any clue about that, but we know what we need to do. We need to have the freezer, which we already have. We need to have a video on that. The freezer has to be locked. So we're checking off all the boxes to get the vaccine. But we don't know how much we're going to get. We're ready to vaccinate as soon as we get it. We have the process filled out. We have the rooms already ready to do this. Moderna, which is about probably a week behind Pfizer, they will be probably a little bit happier with people because they just need regular freezer. So you can get to some of these rural hospitals and areas downstate that don't have the capability to purchase a freezer that they may only use for a short period of time. We have to remember that most of these freezers that we're talking about are essentially for research, whereas the Moderna, the AstraZeneca, the Johnson & Johnson will be able to be just stored in a regular medical grade freezer. But the big thing is going to come down to how many doses do we get. If whatever everybody hears, don't be all that concerned. First wave of doses every week, every couple of weeks after, we will get more and more. Everyone's looking at what's the first number. And I say, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And the individuals that get the vaccine early are going to be the frontline workers, the ones that we're trying to protect so that they don't go home and are ill.
So is there a protocol for who gets it first? I mean, is that something you can even talk about at this point?
Well, you know, the CDC came out with their protocol, and now each state is going to come out with their protocol. And then the interesting thing is that the vaccine will be delivered to the city of Chicago directly by the CDC/FDA. We will get ours from the Illinois Department of Public Health. So Illinois Department of Public Health will distribute it to the counties, and then the counties will distribute it to the hospitals. So we will have some guardrails on it, absolutely how we can use it. And I think you're going to see that all of us are very smart in what our needs are. Our needs are to protect that frontline worker. Our needs are to protect those first responders. So that's going to be the short-term need that we now have. As we get into this, we get into March and April and May, we will be able to definitely take care of the entire workforce. And then we'll start looking at how do we wisely do this to the general public so that we don't have 500 people in line every day, standing in line waiting for a vaccine. So that distribution logistics is going to be something that will be extremely interesting to see how we do this on a public health point of view.
And if you'd like Dr. Moslife, he is either talking with folks, patients are his favorite thing, or in meetings, not his favorite thing, all day long. That's Doc's 12-hour day. If I did half the meetings in my entire career that you do in a week, I would lose whatever hair I have left. So, again, thank you for being there for that. We'll deal with people that don't want to take a vaccine down the road. But the flu vaccine, is it still something people should be getting now?
Absolutely. And again, this is twofold. One is it's good to get just because it'll protect you from influenza. And if you've ever had influenza, you know how miserable that is. And people have to remember, we get 30,000 deaths from influenza every year as well. So that's one thing. Two, it'll take a stress off of the emergency rooms for people who come in with influenza thinking, oh, I might have COVID. So anything we can do to decrease that is great. And then three, you know, we really don't have a lot of room to put influenza patients in the hospital at this time. So anybody who would need hospitalization, again, is going to be taking a bed and filling that need that we have for COVID based on something that they could have taken to protect themselves.
I had hoped I'd hear some announcement because I live in this Hallmark card world in my head sometimes. But I had hoped I'd hear an announcement that the insurance companies would extend the end of year. You got to get it done by New Year's Eve requirements for people that have put off all their meds as they do every year to the end of January. But that's not coming, is it?
No, it's not. And, you know, I look at the insurance industry is probably one of my biggest disappointments. Like you said, people now are going to get their deductible set back to zero in January. So now are they going to postpone things even longer? Are they going to postpone that colonoscopy again until the next, you know, November? And in that case, are we going to find people with more advanced colon cancer? Are we going to miss that mammogram because they don't want to do it? Are we going to miss some of these things because their deductible was set back? We have enough stress on the economic times that we're in right now. I don't know about you, my car insurance, I got a rebate or I got a discount because they knew people weren't driving. I've not seen anything there. I'm still paying my monthly premium for my health insurance, and yet they know that they are not getting all the people using it. There's going to be some obscene profits in the healthcare and in the health insurance industry that I hope people really take it up in arms. You know, we're hearing companies saying, you know, not only are they not changing anything, we're seeing our rates go up for next year.
It's outrageous.
Tell me how that works.
Yeah, because the two things this was never supposed to be is political or a profit center. And shame on the insurance companies that have tried to take this as their big cash cow, because there will be payback at the other end of this, and it won't be pretty for you. All right, so before we wrap up here, the end of the year health stuff that people are doing, a lot of it is, I got a doctor's appointment the next 2 weeks. Do I still go in? Just remind people, let the doctor's office decide what their protocol is. And if you have an appointment, go.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll find that more and more doctor's offices have changed with the times. They're doing more videos. So that might be an option if it's something where you don't actually need to be hands-on, where you would get blood testing done and then discuss the results with your doctor. There's a lot of psychiatric stuff we're doing right now with video. So please don't discourage or don't not follow up with those. And then also know that all of the offices right now have put safeguards in place to make it. You're not going into a waiting room full of people, you know, sneezing, coughing, hacking. You're going into pretty much empty waiting rooms, often waiting in a car until they call you and say, your room is ready, come on in now. So we're doing everything we can to decrease the spread and make it as safe as possible in doctor's offices. The same in the hospital. You know, if you have a scheduled colonoscopy, get it done. We're very protective of everybody and we're very safe. We're testing everybody before any procedure for COVID. And if they have COVID, we're saying you're either going to postpone that or we're going to say it is so urgent that we're glad we know you have it, but we still have to make sure that we get this procedure done. So we are being as good as we can in the medical field to show people what really should be happening, you know, outside of the hospitals as well.
Dr. Kevin Most, you're the best, and it's appreciated. You know, I think most people know we've been good friends for a long time, and you certainly could do better than me, but I appreciate that you haven't tried that hard.
Yeah, it's only been a couple decades, so maybe I'll...
All right, get rest where you can, man, and thanks and hugs to everybody at the hospital.
You got it. We'll talk soon.
Whenever we talk to Mr. Hochberg, it's easy to get a hold of him. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call 855-56-DAVID or 56David.com. You know, David, there's so much information out there. Most of it's wrong, by the way. But when does a reverse mortgage actually make sense?
80-year-old father, mother passed away. Father's 80 years old, living in the same home that they had all the kids, three kids. Dad's on some type of limited pension or Social Security. He's been living in this house free and clear. The house is over $400,000. And each kid is given dad, or was given dad, $1,000 a month to take care of dad. Challenge is, COVID hits, their income drops. Now that $1,000 that they were given dad that was readily available is no longer available because they're not working as much, or their husband's not working as much, or their wife's not working as much. The housing income is down. Now their debt's up because the housing income's down. Okay, and now it's getting tougher to pay that G-note to dad. In the meantime, dad's sitting on a $400,000 home. He's 80 years old. For the love of God, I'm like, what are you guys doing? You could take out up to $280,000, gain access to up to $280,000 from dad's home. Dad needs a new roof. It was like $20,000 for the new roof.
Right, get it right. Done.
I get it. I understand. Got to take care of dad. You made the promise to mom before she passed. You're going to take care of dad. I go, dad's sitting on 280 G's. Why are you struggling?
Right.
You guys should be using that $1,000 to take care of your family. I'm not saying not take care of dad, but dad's sitting on a pile of cash. It frustrates me that people don't see that.
But that's a big part of it. That's a big part of why they need to call 855-56-DAVID or 56David.com, because you guys get it. And you can, as you always do, David, you can calmly, rationally explain it to him, because your voice is always a warm hug for people. Now, Mr. Hochberg, he'll cut to the chase when he needs to, because he's just trying to help. Back on Live from My Office, before we get to today's charitable entity, and again, anytime you've got a charity that you'd like me to talk about, plug, mention, and you don't know that I've known about it or haven't talked about it yet and you'd like me to, drop me a note explaining the same, include the link or their website. That's always helpful. And do that at thecochranshow@gmail.com. Here's a story that, while I don't believe we have all the details, I think it kind of sums up this year really, really well. We've spent a lot of time with family, and the vast majority of that time has been a blessing. But don't kid yourself to think you haven't driven the others in your life nuts, because you know they've done that to you. The story reads this way. A husband in Italy was so mad after a fight with his wife that he decided he needed to take a walk to calm down. On that walk, he ended up getting fined for breaking coronavirus lockdown rules and had to pay a fine of somewhere in the neighborhood of $500. Oh, the walk? The walk he took was 280 miles. An unnamed Italian husband walked 280 miles to calm down after he had an argument with his wife. The hiking, which was just on the spur of the moment, ended up lasting a week. Now, there's a strict curfew in Italy between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. He got fined for breaching it. They asked him if he's doing okay. The 48-year-old who had left Como in the north of Italy traveled 280 miles south. He walked about 40 miles a day to soothe his anger. See, this is the part where we're missing a few details, because after the first 40 miles, no, after the first 4 miles, if you're still pissed off, I think there's something else going on. But the symbolism of this is what caught me. You know, we've spent the whole year together. You're tired of me. I'm tired of you. I'm going for a 280-mile walk. Okay, this time around, the organization I'd like you to help is your local food bank. If you have a house of worship, a church, a synagogue, a temple, I hope you will consider working with the organizations that they support. But in addition to, or maybe separate from, you could do a lot in your neighborhood, your town, your area. We are all just one bad break away from being in significant need. And that need can show up in a lot of really tough places. We know the lines at food banks around the country have never been longer. They're always long this time of year for the holidays, but now it really is at a point of desperation. So I'm here to mention my local food bank in Northern Illinois. It's the Northern Illinois Food Bank. They're terrific. They're one of the best in the country. But wherever you are, if you just Google my food bank and throw in your zip code, it will come up. Remember, you can always check their charitable ratings, how they give, how much they spend at administration, things of that nature. But don't put this off, because the help is needed now. And certainly wherever you're listening, if you'd like to help the Northern Illinois Food Bank, I promise you there's nobody better at feeding those in need than the great people at the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Website's easy to remember. It's called Solve Hunger Today. Solve, S-O-L-V-E, hungertoday.org. And I thank you. All right, a little downbeat today, a little heavy, not a lot of laughs. I always like to work in a few laughs. But today, I think it was all appropriate. I hope you agree, and I hope you pass on some of the information you heard here, or at least take in some of the thoughts I threw out at the top of this episode. Tell your friends again, wherever they listen, it's appreciated, and certainly Apple, Spotify, and always at CochranShow.com. We are out there doing live from my office. Ross Cochran produces it, and engineers and edits and embezzles from the company bank account. I mean, all of those things. Thank you, Ross. And thank you to Dr. Kevin Most, as always. You know, at least we could do this. Maybe have John DeCoss, the musical director of Live from My Office, as he was for the Steve Cochran Radio Show. John, maybe you could take us out. Until next time, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, this week is no exception, you get a new episode of Live from My Office. Thanks for listening.
30 years plus on the airwaves, you have turned your dial to me. Now you're tuned into my podcast. It's Live from My Office, Steve. From Ithaca, New York, to Carolina South, W. Cochran Steve. From Minneapolis, and then Chicago twice, top-rated shows achieved. Sit back, relax, and now listen to my show. When or wherever you are, 'cause you're on the go. A-list celebs with some laughs and great info. Live from my office, the Steve Cochran Podcast Show.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
No better place to be.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Subscribe and like for free.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Live from my office, Steve.
So glad you're with me. It's Live from my office, Steve.
Thank you for listening to Live from My Office, a service of Monkey Run Productions. All rights reserved. The podcast is hosted by Steve Cochran, and it's mixed, edited, and produced by me, Ross Cochran. Support the show by subscribing wherever you're listening and by telling your friends about it. Follow Steve on all social media channels, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And make sure you check out this episode's show notes for relevant information discussed during the conversations. You can also email the show directly at thecochranshow@gmail.com with any questions or comments. And that's the best place to tell us about your favorite nonprofit so we can make sure we mention them on the next episode. Steve is available for corporate speaking gigs. He would love to MC your event. And occasionally, he's funny. Thank you for listening. Head to CochranShow.com for more.